As we are certainly living in times of distress, all of us need to be careful not to begin to turn loose of the truth. We don't want to compromise the doctrine of Christ. And as we know, sometimes it's necessary in business and in politics, yes, to make compromises, to work out their difficulties. But when it comes to true religion, there can be no compromising of the doctrine of Christ. And so for our study this morning, I want us to go to the book of Exodus. And we'll notice four compromises of Pharaoh as he wanted to get Moses to compromise the will of God. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we study God's precious word in our Bible classes, but also as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so with the proper attitude in spirit and also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in truth, John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else to mention, we're always glad to have Bible studies. That's a certainty. Yes, and we're glad to answer Bible questions that you may have. And of course, your comments, positive or negative, are always welcome. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is our zip code. Yes, and our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. So let's get into our study in the book of Exodus, as we're going to see four compromises that Pharaoh tried to get Moses to give into. God heard the cry of his people in the land of Egypt, and he raised up Moses to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. Yes, out of the bondage of hard taskmasters. They were in slavery. So we should appreciate, as we study this morning, how Moses refused to give in to all these offers of compromise, as Pharaoh certainly didn't want to let the people go. And he put his people through torment, 10 plagues, as we know. But here's the point as we study together this morning. We need to learn from Moses' example and never, never, never compromise the truth. Hold on to the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. So let's notice in Exodus chapter 8 now, and this was after the plague of lice, the third plague, and then the plague of flies. That was the fourth plague. And so Pharaoh called for Moses, verse 25, and for Aaron, and said, "Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land." Here's the first compromise. Worship. Yes, you can worship God, but here in the land. And Pharaoh knew if the Israelites stayed in the land of Egypt, he could continue to control them. Yes, and Satan knows that if he can influence us through his instruments, that we will not worship God as we should. He uses corrupt government. Yes, that should be obvious. He uses false religion. You see, that's very appealing. People are going by feelings, not by the truth. And they're, of course, giving up the truth when they do that. And worldlyism, that's certainly a tool of Satan, isn't it? And this is found in the book of the Revelation, how Satan used this against God's people. So, it's better to get away from temptation rather than trying to duke it out. Don't stand there trying to fight it and thinking you can win. What's the best thing to do? Be like Joseph. He left his coat, his cloak, in the hands of Potiphar's wife, and he got out of the situation. Yes, we know about that. But notice with me now in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not," notice, "who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape." That's right. "That you may be able to bear it." Now, what do we need to do? We need to look for that way of escape. It's there. And certainly take it by all means. But notice what Moses said here in verse 26. "It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination, the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? Will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice the Lord our God as he shall command us." Moses wouldn't budge, would he? He didn't give in to the compromise of Pharaoh. "No, sir. We're going to go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, and there we will sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us." So, let's ask ourselves this question. Are we staying with what God's word says? Or are we listening to the philosophies of man? You know, in Colossians 2:8, we're given the warning, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." We don't want to be taken in by these vain philosophies, vain deceits, the traditions of men, the rudiments of the world. No, we want to stay with Christ and his doctrine and not be moved. So, are we staying close to God or close to Satan's enticements? In Matthew 6, let's notice verse 24. And all of us should know this verse. "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." That's not possible. Luke 11:23. Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth." So let's be sure that we have made the right choice and we're serving God and not mammon. That we're for Christ, we're not against him. Certainly we want to be holding on to the gospel of Christ, staying close to God. But notice now compromise number two. As we go to verse 28. "And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only," here it comes, "only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." So here's his second compromise. Do not go far, but stay close. So Pharaoh knew if the Israelites stayed close that he could still continue his ungodly influence upon them? Of course. And this is, again, a lesson for us. Satan wants us to stay nearby the areas of temptation. Don't go too far. So he can lead us away from the truth, away from God. Remember what happened to Lot's family because he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And what happened? Genesis 19:25 and 26. He overthrew those cities, God did, and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Why did she look back? Was that where her heart was? Well, how about Lot's daughters? Were they not influenced by the ungodliness that went on in those cities? Study Genesis chapter 19, 30 through 38, and you'll see the ungodly influence, sad to say. But notice now in Exodus 9, we'll go to Exodus 9, verses 1 through 3, as God through Moses said, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, Thus say the Lord, God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain, disease upon the cattle." Yes, and that, of course, was one of the plagues, wasn't it? And then you see that, of course, God is in control. And now we'll go to compromise number 3, and this is chapter 10, verse 11. Now, let's notice chapter 10, verse 11. "Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord. For that ye did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence." So you have Moses and Aaron going before Pharaoh. Yes, and what does he do? You see, as Moses said, "We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds, we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord." And he said unto them, "Let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. So go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So here's another compromise. Let the men go, but leave behind the women and children. Imagine that. Of course, Pharaoh knew that they would miss their families and return. God wants the whole family to stay together. As Moses had said to Pharaoh, there back in verse 9, "We will go with our young, with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herds, we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord." That's right. Moses was staying with the will of God. The family needs to stay together. In Deuteronomy 31, 12, "Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law." So when Israel assembled together, who was included? Of course, the women were included. Of course, the children were included. And the lesson here is today we should not have divided assemblies. Now, it's fine to have different Bible classes for different ages, but when we come together to worship God, we need to be together, all of us, not having divided assemblies, such as what they term children's church. So you have a few adults take out the children in another room separate from the assembly and have their own service. That's dividing the assembly, and that's not proper. Notice 1 Corinthians 11:20, "When you come together, therefore, into one place," this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, as there were problems there, wasn't there? But the point is, they were to come together in one place. That's the point. And 1 Corinthians 14:23, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? Well, that was in the context of speaking in a foreign language where no one was there to interpret. And who's going to understand that? So the point is, though, the church would come together into one place when they would have that assembly. So let's not divide the worship service assembly. Now let's go to another compromise of Pharaoh. And this is still in chapter 10. And let's go now to verse 24. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. Now he's going to allow the children to go, but what's he going to do? He's going to try to get them to compromise and leave the flocks and herds behind. So he knew they would be drawn back to their possessions. Yes, they needed their flocks and herds, no doubt for food, clothing. And of course Pharaoh knew this is not going to get them back. But notice verse 26. And well, let's go to verse 25. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. So not only would they, of course, utilize flocks and herds for food and clothing, but also as sacrifices to God. And to leave that behind, how could they properly worship God? They could not. God said to take everything. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind. Did you notice that? So Moses is not going to give in to this compromise that Pharaoh offers. For thereof must, notice we need to emphasize the word must. Must we take to serve the Lord our God? That's right. Now, there are other examples, of course, in the scriptures where there were those who did compromise. But thankfully, Moses is a great example of not compromising, and it makes a good study, does it not? Remember Balaam? Now, he was a compromising prophet when he said, let us see and inquire of God again. Well, you don't need to do that. When God says something, that's it. And you don't need to inquire again. Even to this very day, Balaam's name is synonymous with what? Compromising God's word for greed. So that's something to take heed of. Now notice Jude 3 through 5, and we'll get the context of verse 11. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Yes, that's exactly what happened. Those who did not remain faithful to God, they turned into unbelief, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until that generation died out, except for Joshua and Caleb. They were the two spies that said, "Let us go up at once and possess it. It's ours. God has given it to us." But the 10 spies with the negative report were but little grasshoppers in their sight. They're giants, and we can't take them. Well, are you not God's people? You didn't have proper faith. And certainly that didn't please God. And we all know that if we've studied that, and surely we have. Now verse 11 of Jude. "Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainslaying of Kor." After the heir of Balaam. For what? For reward. We don't want to compromise God's word for reward, for anything for that matter. And certainly as we're studying, never, never, never compromise the truth, the word of God, the gospel of Christ, as we will no longer have it if we compromise it. So here's another lesson for us to look at, and that would be partial obedience is disobedience. Now remember the young prophet in 1 Kings chapter 13, a man of God from Judah. He was sent by the Lord to Bethel, and there's King Jeroboam by the altar to burn incense. And of course, there was idolatry in the northern kingdom. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord and said, "O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee." And he gave a sign then as you go on to verse 3. "This sign hath, which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the sayings of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, "Lay hold on him." And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, "Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored me again." And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. Now that's a sign that should get your attention. Well, notice as we go on. King Jeroboam, verse 7, said unto the man of God, "Come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward." What's he trying to do? He's trying to get the man of God away from his mission to compromise. Well, the man of God said unto the king in verse 8, "If thou will give me half thy house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place, for so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest." He's staying steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, as we need to do, 1 Corinthians 15:58. So at this point, he's in total obedience to God's will. He's doing what the Lord had charged him to do, and he's not compromising, and he goes out another way, as you see in verse 10. "So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel, just as God had said." But this is the sad part. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, And his sons came and told him about the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And so he goes. He said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. It's too bad he stopped to rest. Should have got out of Bethel. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place, still staying with the truth. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And here comes the lie. This old prophet said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thy house that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. That's it. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drink water. And what happened? He disobeyed God, believing a lie. And thus he was slain by a lion. And this older prophet had to live with that the rest of his life. Yes, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion. Verse 26. Now, again, the lesson is partial obedience is disobedience. And no one should miss that. Yes, this younger prophet obeyed God's commands as he refused the king's invitation, but he disobeyed God's command by accepting the old prophet's invitation. And as we've studied this morning, Pharaoh offered Moses four compromises, but Moses remained committed to God's word. Let's learn from Moses' example. And brethren, no matter what may befall us, poor health, poverty, disappointments with our brethren, even the deaths of our closest family members and loved ones, and the destruction of our beloved country. Never, never, never compromise the truth. God does not recognize compromise in religion. And we know what Pharaoh's end was. He drowned in the Red Sea, Psalm 136, verse 15. Once the truth is compromised, it is no longer the truth. And partial, as we just learned, partial obedience is not obedience at all, is it? So this morning, we stand ready to assist anyone who is ready to obey the gospel by hearing the truth. That's how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. Now we're ready to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. John 8:24. Once we believe that, we're ready to repent and make a change of wills and do God's will, Luke 13:3 and 5. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9 and 10. And now we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2:38. We thank you so much for listening today.